Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your hosts, Clara Jackson and Laura Yamin, will share their favorite book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for the next one, then join us. Welcome to the show, guys. We're happy to have you back. So let's just introduce ourselves. I'm Laura. I'd love to read. I read a book a day, or almost a book a day, about 20 books a month. I love romance, young adult novels, and a thriller or two. And that's just a little bit about me. How about you, Clara?
Hi, I'm Clara. I wish I could read a book a day, but I am an avid reader and I love reading as well. I also like to write, so I feel like reading makes you a better writer. And I pretty much will read absolutely anything. I get excited about all types of books and genres, and yeah, so that's me.
Awesome. Clara, do you want to talk about this month's theme?
Sure. So February is Black History Month. And so this month we decided to celebrate by sharing some of our favorite books by African-American authors that celebrate Black History Month. And so let's go ahead and dive right in, Laura. What are some of your recommendations?
I got a few recommendations. So a couple are young adult novels and one is a chick lit novel. An honorary mention. So I'll dive into those. So the first one is a young adult novel that I read last year. It's called The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. And this book has getting a lot of buzz. It's been very popular. It won a few awards on Goodreads. It's a great story. It's very powerful. So a little about the story is about Star. And Star lives in a poor area of a town, but she goes to private school. So she lives in both worlds. And so one night after a party, she's driving with her childhood friend, and they're stopped by the police, and the police kill her friend. And the book is the aftermath after the shooting. The book dives into the topics of Black Lives Matter, racism, police brutality, white privileges. It's a really powerful read. You see Stars coming to terms with the death that is unnecessary, and then, you know, seeing the outcome, the aftermath that happens within the community, as well as what happens with her when she's in the private school, because the private school is mainly white students, so they may not get her experience. And so I really love this book. I read it in a few days. It took me a while to finish the book, just because it was a definitely powerful read. I gave this book 5 stars. It was definitely an interesting book to read. I definitely recommend. I cannot recommend enough to read it. An interesting story about this book is that it's been banned in a library in Texas. So the librarians are quite an interesting bunch of women or men who are very active and, you know, into activism. So in order for them to, because they were banned by the community, they couldn't have the book, they made a call to action for people outside of the community to buy the book and put it on those little libraries around the corner where you have the little bookcase when you can pick the book from the library. Yeah. So there's a wish list going on that people will go on Amazon and buy the book and get delivered to these librarians, and then they put in those little neighborhood libraries so the book can get spread around. So it's kind of like an interesting story to see, like, even though the book may be banned, there's still ways to get your hands on the book. That's how powerful this book is.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are you, in the notes for this, can you share that information so people can contribute?
I'll put it in the show notes. Yeah, I definitely will include that, and where you can contribute, where you can just put your Amazon. You can buy the books like $12, $12 to $15. Yeah. So it's just a contribution. You can still spread the word. It's definitely a powerful book to read. So encourage you to read it, and encourage you to support this activism.
And so, they're making a movie from this book too, right?
Yes, they're making a movie. Yeah. She has another book coming out, which is The Black Female Rapper, which I'm excited. It's coming out in May. So this book she's getting a lot of hype. Her writing is amazing. And so this book got a lot of hype this past year. It's definitely, it's a really powerful read. I cannot say that enough. you know, it's very popular within BookTube. It's very popular in Bookstagram and the different social media around books. So it's a great book to read.
Awesome. Thank you.
So the second selection is called Gear Martin, and this is by Nick Stone. And this book is about 200 pages. It's fairly short. It's fairly easy to read. And it's just as powerful. And this story starts off with Justice, the main character, is arrested due to misunderstanding. And he gets released. He gets released from jail. And he goes back and he kind of gets an aha moment where he thinks about Martin Luther King and what would he do in that situation. Justice goes to public school also, and he's involved in the debate team. He's a highly involved student. He wants to try to find a way to make sense of getting arrested and still being in the private school setting. What does that mean? So he decides to study the teachings of Dr. Martin Luther King, and he starts writing letters to Dr. King about his experience. He kind of like goes into make, he's like, what would Martin do? And he will just try to follow that regime of what he would do. The book also dives into police brutality, privilege, racism, Black Lives Matter, interracial dating. It's a really powerful book. It's about 200 pages long, so it's a short read to do, but it's definitely, don't be afraid. It has a lot of story in it. And I definitely encourage you to read it. That this book also has 5 stars. And my third book is The Wedding Date by Jasmine Gilroy. And this is a chick lit adult novel. So it has romance, it has romance, which is amazing. So this is the story of Alexa, who's Black, and Drew, who's white, and they meet being stuck in an elevator. At the time, Alexa had wine and cheese in her bag, and Drew's like, I want some of those. So they start talking, and he convinces her to get some wine and cheese while they're stuck in the elevator. And Drew explains to her that he's there. He's in the elevator in the hotel lobby. Because he's going to his ex-girlfriend's wedding. And he's a groomsman and he doesn't have a date. So he finally convinces Alexa that, why don't you just become my date for the wedding? So they go on a wedding date and there's instant chemistry. This is, you know, it's bound to happen. They fake a relationship. She goes to the wedding as his fake girlfriend and, you know, they become a real girlfriend. And they start a long distance relationship. So Drew is a pediatric neurosurgeon in LA, and Alexa is a chief of staff for the mayor of Berkeley. So they're pretty much over the course of a few months, they're meeting every weekend by taking a plane ride. And they go through the conflicts of being in a long distance relationship, you know, text messaging and not being present and just not communicating. So one of the most frustrating things about this book was that they did not communicate at all. So a lot of the conflict that happened was because they didn't talk to each other. So I was just kind of annoyed. I was like, can you just talk to each other? Can you just, instead of texting each other, can you just pick up the phone and call or show up and let him know that's what's going on? So I wish they would talk to each other, but it was enough angsty that it kind of made the story go kind of fun. I give this book about 4 stars. When it comes to romance, I tend to be much more pickier about my star rating because I read a lot of romance novels. So this book had enough inks. It was steamy, but not too steamy. It was not too graphic in terms of the sex scenes, but there was a lot of sex scenes. So just cry. But it wasn't graphic. So it was, they had a lot of sex, but they were not graphic about it. And there was enough angst that just kept you engaged. And I saw the resolution. I was glad the resolution happened. I wish there was an extended epilogue. I heard that the second book is about Drew's best friend. And so hopefully we'll see this couple in the next book. So I'm excited for that.
So I have a question. Would you say that when you were frustrated by their communication, but don't you think that maybe that's a little bit how relationship communications, even with people who live in the same city, that kind of happens now? Like,
yeah,
it seems like it's probably realistic.
It's realistic because when they're communicating over text messaging all the time, you lose the kind of like the tone of the voice. And, you know, and there was one conflict about she asked a question and he was like, why did you ask me that question? And it came out of nowhere. And he was sarcastic about his response and she didn't get the sarcasm because it was text message. So,
it's funny. Well, I was just going to say, it's funny because communication, like, so text messaging and all the things we have today make it easier to be in a long distance relationship and communicate like, hey, I'm at this place without having to have a full on phone conversation. But you feel like you're kind of together. But then there's so much room for miscommunication.
Yep.
So it's interesting.
Yes, indeed. So it was a fun read. So if you're looking for a chick lit, you know, kind of romance novel, this is a fun read. They do deal and do a whole idea of interracial dating. They do talk about that. They talk about race. So there's honest conversations that happen. I like that they both are professional. I like that they both had jobs that they were passionate about and they came together and they talk about it. So it didn't feel like the heroine was like, I'm a damsel in distress and I don't have a job. Mm-hmm. You know, she actually had a real job that it was like a real 9-to-5 that she was passionate about. And we delved into that too. So, and finally, an honorable mention that I have to say, and this is in my to-be-read pile, but I have not picked it up because I was not in the mood. And I'm a mood reader, so I'm coming to accept that.
Me too.
Yeah, I was like, I have it. I bought it so I can actually read it for this podcast. But when I came down to it, I was like, I'm not feeling it. I'm not going to read it. So I picked up The Wedding Date instead. So the honorable mention is An American Marriage by Tarai Jones. This book is Oprah's book club pick for 2018. It was on Book of the Month. And it was definitely on the different buzz. It's getting a lot of buzz about it. And it's about the story about this couple who get married and he gets wrongfully convicted. So he goes to jail and there's a story that happens after that. So it's in the New South. That's how they portray it. It's in Atlanta. So the New South, contemporary read. I'm curious to see what it looks like, what the storyline, how it just come about. But it deals with like prison sentencing, you know, black male going to prison, going wrongfully convicted. It deals with marriage. It deals with there's a love triangle. So it deals with all those different things. So I'm curious to read it. It may happen next month. We'll see.
Awesome. Yeah, I know that. I've seen that book so many times. I haven't picked it up yet, but it's on my list of I want to read.
Yeah. So those are my books. So how about you, Claire? What are some of your recommendations?
Okay. So I have, it's a short month, and I have only two recommendations this month. I'll start off by saying I did start reading The Wedding Date. So I'm looking forward to finish reading it. As you know, the reason I bought The Wedding Date is because I'm a mood reader, and it was February and Valentine's, and I was at the store. I opened it up, and it started talking about the wine and cheese, and I was like, oh, this book is perfect. So I only just started it, but I thought it was pretty good so far, and it's a nice, easy read, at least so far. But, you know, refer to Laura's review since I have only just begun it. But my first book that I'll talk about, I'll actually start because there's a little bit of a connection to the American Marriage book. So this is maybe not a well-known book, but it is an exceptional book, and I highly encourage anyone to read it. It's called Freedom in the Dismal, and it's by Monifa Love. So I read this book when I was in college in Florida the first time, and I've read it a few times since then. And I had the chance to actually meet the author, and it's just fascinating to kind of learn what she was thinking, what inspired her to write the book. But again, I'll get into that in a second. But basically, this book is a love story between two people, and it's between You know, a man and a woman, the man is incarcerated at a very young age. And so their entire relationship happens, you know, while he's incarcerated. And the book is written with a lot of different formats. And normally I'm a person who I generally just like straight prose. I don't like when always when books are written like as letters or, you know, kind of funky like emails. But in this book, every way, every word she put on the page, every way that she put these together, which was a combination of poetry, prose, letters, numbers are a big deal in this book. And I'm not going to say more than that, but you have to read the book to kind of get it. But it just everything that she did to make this story come alive was impeccable. It's beautiful writing. It also goes back and forth between the past and the present, because what you see here is a lot of themes of past experiences impact, including ancestral experiences, impacting and having an effect on current day relationships and situations and experiences. So there's this movement between different forms of the writing and then different times within the book. And the reference, so I think even the title is poetry. Freedom in the Dismal is a reference to the Dismal Swamp in Virginia, which if you're not aware of it, it's definitely something interesting to learn more about. But basically it was a swamp, and when people were enslaved, they would escape into the Dismal Swamp, into this swamp that was treacherous, dangerous, you know, not a place where you would make a home, right? It's unsafe. But escaping slavery, getting into the middle of this swamp, Black people were able to be free from slavery within the Dismal Swamp. Which, so if you see the title, it's poetry in and of itself. And it's, you know, sad and it's horrifying, all of those things together. The way she writes the story and tells the story, again, all I can say is it's impeccable and it is moving. The other thing for me, I read this book when I was actually kind of trying to anyway end a relationship. And you know, this book is kind of about how these two people find their way being separated. And you know, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to give away different things, but the way she describes, especially the woman in the book kind of finding her way, at the time that I first read it, it really spoke to me. It gave me courage in the situation that I was going through, and it comforted me, which is gonna, you know, seem strange given the overall themes of the book, but I mean, she's such a masterful writer. So I've gone on and on, but I highly recommend this book. Again, it's Freedom in the Dismal by Monifa Love. An interesting note that it's a love story, but she actually, according to what she told us, she actually wrote the story based on her brother who was incarcerated, but she changed it to a romantic relationship because she didn't think people would want to read about a brother and a sister communicating. So I thought that was, I mean, that just adds other levels to how you read the book. So,
Yeah.
So that's that book. The other book that I'm going to bring up is an oldie, but it is one of my all-time favorite books, and I know you've probably heard about it if you haven't already read it. But I'm from Florida, so I'm gonna reference my Florida writer icon, which is Dora Neale Hurston. And I mean, I recommend all of her books, but of course, I'm gonna talk about Their Eyes Were Watching God. Laura, did you ever read that book?
No, I have not. So I'm curious to hear what it's all about.
So, all right. It's written by Zora Neale Hurston, who was one of the major writers during the Harlem Renaissance, even though she was one of the few Southern writers that was a part of the Harlem Renaissance. So she went to school in New York, but she lived in Florida, back and forth. So just learning about her life and, you know, the way that she lived and the way she lived as an artist is fascinating. And of course, I grew up in Florida, so they teach this in school. They teach her works in school. And, you know, it references things that we see all the time down in Florida. So I like that too. But basically, this is a story about a woman named Janie who... it starts off with Janie being middle-aged, around my age, actually, and coming back home after a long absence from where she had left many years before. And she recounts where she's been and her life story to her best friend. And it's a fascinating story because the whole story is basically about how Janie's search for herself and her identity and her voice. It's a love story, but at the end, it's mostly a story about Janie finding herself and her voice and controlling her narrative. And so I love it. It's written in dialect, which a lot of people don't like. I know people complain about it, but if you really let yourself fall into the dialect, it becomes more and more beautiful. And I think it emphasizes, again, the point of the novel, which is finding your own voice, right? So why would you write a book about this person's own voice in a dialect that wasn't there? So, you know, I just think everything that she put into this book, again, you know, leads to this story of a woman finding her purpose in her strength in life. And this is in the early 1900s. So this isn't like now where that's common for women to do. This is at a time when a woman, especially a Black woman, is not getting encouraged to find her own voice, right? So
yeah.
So I think it's just beautiful. And it has one of my favorite opening lines of any novel. Which is ships at a distance have every man's wishes on board. And it goes on from there, which I won't read because I want you to read the book. But the idea is that we all have these dreams, and dreams kind of are out there in the water, and it's up to us if we're going to have them come in, if we're going to bring them to shore and make them happen. And, you know, there's many factors that go into whether our dreams can come true. So, you know, this isn't a book where she just makes it all happen and it all works out. There's a lot of struggle, and not everything that she desires for her life happens. But it's someone choosing to take control of their destiny, and at a time when women are not encouraged to do that. So I cannot recommend it enough. I think, too, it's interesting to note that Zora, like, her writing is all about finding voice and telling your own story. Even her autobiography, right? There's like debate in the literary world because her autobiography has some potentially large exaggerations, but it's her damn story, so she can tell it however she wants. And I just like that. I love her as a writer, and I think she is a national treasure that we should recognize more. So those are my two books for this month.
I love it. Thank you. I'm going to read them. Hopefully I'll be in the mood soon, turn soon. I'll be putting them in the library queue, so that usually helps me get in the mood. It's like, ooh, it's in the library. It's from the library. So now we want to hear from you. What are some of your favorite African-American authors and books that you like? If you want to come over to the blog, What to Read Next blog, and share with us what are some of your favorite books. And thank you for listening for this podcast. We'll be back next month with a brand new episode. And next month, we're going to be talking about romance, right, Clara?
Yep. Romance, romance, romance.
Woohoo! So in the meantime, if you enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. This will help us get this podcast get discovered by new audiences. And it's kind of fun to hear what your reviews are. So if you reviews, if you want, just share what's your favorite book to read. So we would like to know, and maybe we'll read it ourselves.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.